You know, I don't know how many times, like, if you, like, bring up ciders in, like, the team room, and everybody's like, you know, one guy will be like, oh, that's so stupid. How can you, are you even a real man? And everybody's just quiet. And then, like, over the next 2 years, you find out that, like, 98% of the team prefers ciders over beers.
Oh, all like, it takes is one assignment to England, and you're over it, dude. Yeah. The ciders that they have there, they had this one that I used to drink all the time because they had a really small little grocery store that was, I don't know, 40 meters out my front door or something. And that's where we'd go for day-to-day stuff because it was a short walk, the old fruit and veg in back row. Yep. However, they had these ciders, and they were like 10% or 11% cider. They just had like two X's on them, and they're just like, yeah, here's your cider. Those things, they sold them in a 4-pack. You would not finish the entire 4-pack, like, just on a whim. Like, you had to be motivated to finish that much. Like, they were hammers. But yeah, I got to love cider over in England, and cider is actually really good. And then anybody that's honest with themselves, that they do like alcohol, if they've ever tried a cider, like a good one, they would admit that they like it. But that's
fantastic.
It's a lot of self-reflection. You got to taste, it takes to get there to be able to admit that you like cider. You know, initially the realization could be, damaging to your male ego, I guess.
I don't know why. It's weird.
They got a great cider place here in Tacoma. It's called the Living Tap Room. And they do you just buy a bracelet and then you just put the bracelet up to the tap and they charge you per ounce of beer. So I think they have like 70 beers or something there, 60 or 70 beers. And like 30 of them are ciders. So
You were the first person that taught me how to do it. The first time I went to a place like that where like they had all the taps, that was when we were in Colorado together. That was the first time I'd ever done that.
I cannot speak highly enough of those places. That is a great night waiting to happen. They have two or three of them around here that are super fun. There's one called Red Dog. It's down on 6th Street here, which is like Tacoma's sort of downtown area for bars and stuff. But it's fire. Same sort of concept. You just swipe a card, get whatever beer you want. Like if you want to have like 10 or 15 different beers, there's TVs all over the place. It's my favorite sort of vibe to be in. Plenty of sports on, plenty of stuff to sit and chill. Really, you're just BSing with your friends, and you can try like 7 or 8 beers. And if you just want like little tastes of beer, you can have a little taste of 100 beers if you want. And nice. Just puts it on the card, and then you swipe out, and you're done. It's easy. It's awesome. Anyway,
get yourself some culture, kids.
You know what? I did want to do the intro this week, like a terrestrial radio. I was like, welcome back. It is 105.9. It's Chico and the Snob. Whoa, 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 whoa. Chico. Do you see he's so crazy? Like have the wacky intro shit.
Yeah.
Terrestrial radio was fucking awful. That's a thing of the past. Remember we always used to listen to, we're of the age where you would have to record songs off of terrestrial radio using a cassette recorder.
Yep.
And you would have to try to miss the commercials.
Oh yeah, like the you weren't a cool kid or like a rich kid until like when the first the boom boxes came out with the two tape decks in them so that you could do all the things, and it was a big deal.
Had to make those mixtapes, dog. I was a mixtape aficionado. You forget that too, but there were no kidding countdown shows on. I have memories of me being 7, 8, 9. So this is, I mean, late 80s, right? So 87, 88. Of listening to the radio at night to listen to the top five. Like 88.1 in Akron was the college radio station. And at night they would have like the top five of the day. And you'd be like, oh, I want to hear Ice Ice Baby. Like it's been at number one for like 2 weeks, whatever. So you would listen to, and then they'd have like people call in. They'd be like, oh, what were the top 10 songs? And if they got it right, they win a prize and shit. Like I remember that.
Yeah. I mean, there are still, I'll hear certain songs and I expect a particular song to come on after it. That's totally unrelated. Like they're not on the album together
because it's on a playlist of the mixtapes.
Yeah. Yes. And I listen to them so many times in that order.
Yeah.
That's like, dude, how come the next song is not the one I'm anticipating?
Well, you know why we did that is that, you and I are of an age where we had to make, and I was talking to my friend Rocky about this. We had to make mixtapes for the gym. So you would have like this is motivational mixtape, cardio one, or you'd name them like stupid stuff, like stomp your way to victory or Valhalla, brother, or like that. So you would have like these CDs you could only have in the beginning. You'd only have like 12 songs, right? So they would play in like a very like distinct pattern, distinct order. It was hilarious. My friend Rocky's like, years later, He was like, yeah, this random Hoobastank song that we thought was very edgy back in the early 2000s. He was like, this random Hoobastank song came on. He's like, my heart rate jumped to 140 and I didn't know why. I was just like in the car. He's like, and then I remembered it was on that mixtape. He's like, I got so amped lifting to that one mixtape that was on. He was like, my brain just immediately went to like monkey mode. I'm like, yeah, I'm about squats. To go squat.
Go squat now.
Exactly. He's like, monkey brain took over. And I remembered how much I worked out to that song to put me in that zone. I just laughed. I was like, yeah, bro.
It's wild.
Yeah. Had the anti-G-Shock Walkman, too. You couldn't screw around with me.
Gee, you had the,
the belt.
The good stuff.
I was out here. I was living that life, dude. I had to.
Yeah, if you didn't have, like, the yellow Walkman, it's like you were ashamed of it.
What were you even doing? Yeah. I mean, it just skipped when you put it down. It was terrible. Really bad.
Yeah. You'd have, like, the crappy, like, CD player that you would, like, attach to the tape to put it into your car because you couldn't afford an actual CD player for your car.
I was riding clean, too. I was just old enough to where it was still really cool to put the loudest stereo system you could possibly in your car. And I'm talking dudes that have, like, 18s and 12s in the trunk. Like,
oh, yeah.
Just 10s in the actual, just rattling shit. Hilarious.
Dude, now, if I'm, like, looking at used cars, like, you know, if I'm looking for, like, 90s Blazers or whatever I think that I'm going to want for, like, my retirement vehicle someday, and they have, like, a big old box in the back, I'm like, nope. No, I know who these people are.
I know what happened in here. I don't know what happened. It's like a relic of a time going by. You're like, I know exactly what that is.
Yep. You know, the type of person that owned this, and this car is about to fall apart no matter what.
Absolutely not. This thing is holding on by a thread. I can tell by that speaker box with the 210s in the back and the subwoofer hookup. You're
the homemade 412s. It's like, the what plyo are you
box.
Doing?
The plyo box. Oh, Boo Boo, what is you doing? What is you doing, Boo Boo?
Yeah.
Hey, Trent, what really makes you mad about the listeners on the podcast, which is what we really got together to talk about today, and we've been BSing because that's what we do. Because you're my good friend.
I think it was a good intro because we're establishing our age, right?
Right.
And that does a few different things. It establishes our level of experience and how many of these times, like, we've answered these questions or certain questions, not just on the podcast, but, you know, as instructors, as NCOs and senior NCOs. And so, you know, it's not just here, you know, like, I've answered questions, I don't know how many times over the course of my career, right? Like, I went from, like, being a baby that was the annoying person asking questions that I had no, like, frame of reference for the answers, to, like, you know, a couple of rotations later, then people are like, hey, man, asking you questions, you're like, I don't even know why I have the answer to this, but I do now. Like,
yeah, I actually do know. I'm embarrassed to admit that. That's my favorite one, is when you see somebody begrudgingly give the answer to the question, because it just makes, like, you know how it makes them feel. Like, the question comes up in a meeting or a public setting, and that one guy is just like, all right, this is the answer, and I'm positive it's the answer. I know this for a fact. Everybody's like, oh my God, you're a nerd. And that guy just is like, oh God. And I've been that guy. I've just been like, ugh. Yeah, I know this, and that makes me terrible. Okay, bye.
Well, then there's going to be follow-on questions, and, you know, and then half the audience doesn't even understand the answer that you just gave.
It gets way too inside baseball right away. Half the audience tunes out right away, and the other half doesn't care. They're just like, I just want to get to the logical end of this conversation.
They're like, you said four words I've never heard before. You're like, oh my gosh.
You're just bringing up random facts. Those are just words. They're not even real words.
Listen up, college boy. I thought you learned.
How about this, college boy? Can you whoop my ass? Can't challenge people to physical combat, Aaron. How many times do we say this?
Yeah, you can. But I think I think the first thing is something that I harp on a lot. Like, one of my least favorite questions is the age thing, right? Like, and I want to, like, start with the things that are, like, the least interesting about who you are as a human.
Mm-hmm.
Like, your age is one of those things. Like, oh, have you ever seen a 36-year-old, you know, from Maine ever make it through the pipeline? And I'm like,
I'm gonna pause you so we can put out ROE, like, what we're doing.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, just so people understand. So Trent and I are gonna have a real conversation. We're just gonna let you in, like, we're gonna peel the curtain back, and we're gonna put you in the team room for real. So you're in the trust tree with the nest. Every time you guys DM us, of course, we cannot just, like, basically bully and harass you for your question, right? We've answered a question a million times, right? Hey, where can I find the Discord link? Right? Like, people hit us, I don't know how many thousand times I've hit up, and just, like, all I'm doing is copy and paste in the Discord. Like, I know it by heart at this point, right? But if somebody DMs me, and out of good faith, they're just like, hey, I heard you mentioned a Discord link, can I get it? Of course, I'm not going to respond to them and go, oh, geez, oh, this again here, boy, couldn't find it on your own, huh? It would take so much time to be that negative, as opposed to just being like, copy, paste, here you go, thanks, right? But being real, that's not how Trent and I would really talk. Like, we feel some type of way about it. When you ask us, oh, have you seen a 36-year-old from Maine? Have you seen them go through? Okay, what we're going to tell you is, like, of course, you know, the age limit is 42. And of course, you know, there's going to be some things. You have to do mobility and durability and whatever. You know what we're thinking? Fuck. This question, again, it doesn't matter. It doesn't, this is a dumb, this question, I hate it. I hate it. It's a dumb question.
Well, and especially the age thing, it's the questions that say something about your mentality, right? That, like, immediately you're not seeking these things out on your own. Like, you're not, it's from our end, it seems like you're not a self-starter. You know, like, you need outside validation to even start the process. Like, do you think you're going to be successful? Like, no one's going to hold your hand. No one's going to be like, man, it's really great to have a 36-year-old in selection. Like, you're the first one that made it. We're going to throw a party.
Oh, God, it's him, guys. I've heard about him. I heard he's a 37-year-old. It's not the way it goes. And just even to and again, there's layers to this, and it seems weird, but I'm happy to, like, talk through it for a second. It's not just that you ask the question. It's not just the basis of the question, am I too old, whatever. You didn't even logically think it through. If I gave you a negative to that question, have you ever seen a 36-year-old from Maine go through? Nope. And as a matter of fact, I can show you all the data that shows you you're not going to make it through anyway. You might as well give up. Just quit. Don't even apply. I don't even want to see you in the program. What would you do? Would that matter at all? Or you'd still try it or like whatever? Because there is no right answer. If you would quit because I told you to, I'd be like, well, that's not the type of person that we want. I want somebody that's going to be, you know, in the face of something impossible. I want them to actually go and try, as opposed to just being like, well, isn't our day today, guys? Like, imagine a PJ showing up to a crash site, just being like, wow, looks dangerous, guys. We should probably go. You know, like, ORM feels a little high to me. You know what I mean? Like,
I just cleaned my fingernails.
We're downwind already. I've already got the uniform on. It's clean uniform day, whatever. You know, we jest, but, you know, we don't want those type of people anyway. So, but on the other side, what if I gave you the positive? I don't want the type of person that needs that positive reinforcement to take the step. That's almost worse. You know, that I have to coddle you the entire way. We've totally seen 36-year-olds. You're totally fine. Everything's going to be great. This isn't a sure, you know, it's like a glaring insecurity. And again, it's not the question. It's not, am I too old? It might be an innocent question. But it shows me a bunch of stuff that I'm like, okay, I don't like this for a bunch of reasons. And it's kind of nuanced, but it's like, you didn't logically think through the yeses or the noes. You don't really need me to answer this question. This isn't a me question. This is a you question. Yeah. Are you too old to go through? Are you going to be able to do it as a 37-year-old? It's not my answer. It's your answer.
And do you think that if we knew that there was a portion of the population that had an actual decent selection rate out through the pipeline, like completion rate, like that, we would just advertise that.
Like, I wouldn't all the time. We'd be like,
why would we have a podcast for everybody? You know,
like, just, right? Like, imagine with all this data that we have. I've been part of, you know, multiple studies at this point. I was in and out of the wizard. Like, I was aware of what was going on with the wizard. I had close friends and, you know, a whole bunch of people in my circle that went through the wizard in that time. We were rewriting our course as well, so we used a bunch of that data. And we've seen a ton of this stuff going through. If your contention here is that we're just not telling you that there's like, oh, you got to be 17 through 27. That's the sweet spot. If you 17 through 27, outside of that, don't even apply. Right. We saw, you know, 17-year-olds that get in and do well. And the sweet spot is this 10 years. You can maybe kind of do it like 28 and older, but you shouldn't really try. You shouldn't bet your life on it. You're telling me if we knew that sort of stuff, we wouldn't have it wouldn't already be out there. Like,
yeah, yeah,
that's why absolutely. The age limit is, that's why
it'd
the
be so nice. 42. Right? I could just be like, no,
yeah,
don't do it.
Yeah, no, you can't. I wish there was some sort of thing, if like a questionnaire where I'm just like, oh, okay, what are you? How old are you? 38. Okay, 38. How tall are you? Okay, 6'2". Okay, how much do you weigh? 135 pounds. Do you have a specific thing about you and only you? Okay, came from Great Falls, Minnesota. And then I just put this into a like a gonculator, and then it just gave me yes or no. I wish we could run selection like that. We can't. You got it. It's my favorite analogy about betting, because I'm a Browns fan and the Browns always lose. But the favorite thing that I say is, when people talk about us getting blown out, I'm like, hey, well, that's why you got to play the game. Like, you have to actually go do the thing. Like, you can talk all this crap about 36-year-olds or, you know, from this or, you know, maintenance, or I had this problem in my past, yada, yada, yada. None of that matters. Go get selected. If you get selected, tight, whatever, but you still have to go. Like, even if you're a home run, you know, 18-year-old water polo, underwater hockey champion, that also was a JTAC, you know, in a prior life somehow and just picked up everything. He's a perfect specimen. Like, that guy still has to go to selection. Mm-hmm. And that guy still might not make it. So I don't know what to tell you, homie.
Yeah, it's like not every like former Green Beret that shows up at our doorstep makes it through. And I'm sure not every single one of us, if we decided to go become
Green Berets, would make it through. Rangers quit on my Indoc team. I had Rangers and MARSOC guys, just like two recon guys. We're like, nah, I'm out.
Yeah. I mean, it's just one of those things. It's where you're at in your life. It's your physicality. It's your mentality. It's how you were raised. Like, my psych doc couldn't break this down. You know, like, they'd be like, I have no idea what makes one of you psychos. It's like, I don't know.
There's a magic in the mixing, and we can't figure that out. And believe me, if we did, we would just line it out. Here's what you need to do to prep.
I would have a Ferrari if I could figure that out.
I'd be a billionaire. I think I said it the last time we were talking. I'd be a billionaire already. You know what I mean? Like, if we had figured that out, like, you think that there's some secret sauce where you need to DM me and be like, these guys aren't telling me something. You know what? I'm going to ask. I'm pretty old. Let's see. I don't think these guys are shooting me straight.
Yeah. And for everybody out there, like, just in case you didn't know my attitude about secrets, for the most part, 99% of secrets are stupid.
They're dumb. They're saying they don't need to be secrets.
Secrets are dumb. Like, I'm not hiding anything.
Market 1820. Secrets are dumb. Trent. Yeah,
I don't
fucking count it. But so, yeah, like, when you ask us those questions, and it falls into this bigger bucket, right? And it's, of course, we're not going to respond negatively to everybody. And I hear my own words ringing in my head, which is a surprise to nobody, that I'm going to quote myself here, which is the most hyper douchebag thing that I think even I've ever done. When I was an instructor, people would come to me and they go, hey, I'm getting burned out. I'm saying the same thing over and over and over again, and they're not learning. I'm like, hold on. Yes, you're saying the same thing over and over and over again, but it's different people in front of you every single time. You're repeating yourself because it's common problems that you're fixing, but those people are moving on and hopefully getting better, graduating and going on. You're not getting burnt out. You're not engaging in the here and now, and you're putting on your instructor face and just blah, blah, blahing at the podium. Like, you're just being like, believe it or not, even our high intensity instructors, like, it can get pretty monotonous, and you can get into the instruction, just monotony of delivering, you know, in AETC all day long. Like, I feel it for real. However, you got to be able to, like, move through your training in a logical sense and put everything together. I totally lost the thread of what we were talking about.
Instructors getting burned out. You would give them advice.
Sorry. So I would say, hey man, like, you're not getting burned out, man. Like, you were saying the same thing. It's different people. You got to take a step back from that. I have to hear myself when I engage on the page, because just because I've answered the question a million times, I didn't answer the question a million times to this specific person that's asking me. And it took me a little bit, but it was like, it's disrespectful of me to respond like negatively or flippantly to a person that out of good faith hit the page up and was just like, hey, where do I find X information? You know what I mean?
And I'd love to fire up. You're like, great. You're also apparently stupid. So like, if you could just not subscribe anymore, that would be fantastic for us.
Some perfect example. This is me just being a douchebag. I'll try to keep it. Maybe only the person that sent us the video will be able to tell whatever. Somebody sent us a video. They were like, hey, check this out. They were doing an exercise. I looked at the exercise and every rep I was like, zero, 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 doesn't count. And in my head, I was just like, why are you being this mean to this person? Like, they're sharing a video of themselves. They're making progress. They're doing good. And I'm applying a standard that does not matter to them at all to this person getting ready to come into the pipeline. It doesn't matter to them at all yet. They're not, he didn't DM me and be like, can you check this out for form, please? That's not what he said. He had a cool video of himself doing an exercise. Yeah,
he's like, and hyped.
Exactly. Know. And I'm there like with the clicker, like, do you see my thumb moving? Mm-mm. Zero. Zero, 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 one, zero, zero. Like,
I see you sparking up this little fire. I got a bucket of water, so you're welcome.
Exactly. So, all that to say, we love it when you DM us. We have a real reaction that sometimes, and hopefully, like this, we're going to talk about some more of them too, because we have a million of them of people that ask us stuff. We love it when you DM us, and we would never actually respond to anybody negatively, because it's like the first rule of feedback. If I say, hey, give me your feedback, and when you do, I'm like, well, that's dumb. Or I get into an argument with you about the feedback that I just asked you for. The only thing that that does is make sure that you'll never give me feedback ever again. You'll just be like, nah. Like, next time you'll be like, nah, man. Like, I tried to tell you last time and you just argued with me. You made it my fault. You made excuses, whatever. You know, and those things are all things that we do and that we've all seen. So it's kind of one of those scenarios.
All right. Well, you got the next one. I did the age thing. I have more lined up.
Oh,
I can jump in.
I got a million of them. You jump in. Go ahead.
The questions about specifically the career field. And there's again layers to this, but like, hey, if I'm going for SR, should I X? And I think we've covered this fairly extensively. Hey, if you're going in under the current construct, until we might go back to GTEP, which is like a guaranteed into a single career field, whatever, and that's fine. But regardless, the beginning of the pipelines are the exact same. And even if you're not going to dive, we're still going to drown you for a while before you get to move on to the next course of the pipeline. Yep. So like hey, if I'm going for SR, should I specifically be doing X, Y, and Z? It's like, you should be doing what everybody else is doing and focusing on the next step in front of you and your process. And that's what really drives me nuts about it is losing sight of the process and focusing on a specific goal instead of, you know, leaving things open and just seeing how good you can get, you know, that type of thing.
Right. Well, and we all do it. Like, we get, and it's probably, you know, because of us, we tell people all the time, hey, 5-meter target, keep your head down, closest thing to you. And then simultaneously, I'll say what I'm about to say, but you lose sight of the overall goal. So you get so focused on the next school. I want to graduate. I want to get my beret. That's not the goal. The goal isn't to graduate the pipeline or pass dive school or even get selected. The goal is to become a special operator, doing what you're meant to do, and then giving back to the thing that you're supposed to be giving back to, which is overall the United States of America, the Constitution, and then the military branch of service that you choose and the job that you choose in there. So hopefully all those things align and you find yourself as a special operator, but that should always be the driving force, right? People, and you see it all the time in students, and that's why every single person at every single unit will tell you, the first year of a new cone out of the pipeline, right? These guys that can chew glass and crap lightning, they're the physical specimens. They're absolutely unbelievable. They graduated top of their class and got every single award out of the schoolhouse, and they came outperforming everybody at the unit. You know what you see them do during that first year? And they get a little bit unmotivated. They get a little bit out of shape. They get a little bit behind on their training. And then people are looking at them and be like, hey, you need to be a real boy right here. I'm asking you to do a whole lot more. You're not a student now. You don't get to just show up with your gear and train. Now you have to show up with your gear and train, and I'm going to ask you to brief, and then I'm going to ask you to lead this stick, and then I'm going to ask you to clean up afterwards, and then you're the vehicle NCO, and there's a whole host of other things. Oh, and when's your ALS date? Where's your EPB? How many things have you done in this category? Like, you know, yada, yada. The list goes on and on.
Yeah.
It's daunting, the amount of stuff that we will put on top of you, and it's pretty much immediately. So the goal is not to graduate. The goal is to get to your team and go deploy and go do the job and go do it well for as long as it is that you want to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I think if you're like process oriented, which I see this a lot, like if you don't want that big letdown, then don't focus on getting a beret as like this ginormous thing, right? Like your goal should be to take this, your body, your brain, and everything that you have inside of you as far as you can. Mm-hmm. And like start developing those processes now and into the pipeline and further on. Take, you know, one night every time you graduate a school and feel a little bit good about yourself and look back and reminisce about how far you've come and how much you've grown, and then get back into your process. Because you don't want that huge letdown, because it's going to be rad. But, you know, just like these guys that like win Super Bowls, they're like, what did we do? Like I took a week and I celebrated, and what do the best guys do? You know,
right back at it.
Right. So, and if you lose that process and that repetition and you know that schedule, it gets harder and harder to get it back, because we're going to keep throwing more and more stuff your way.
Yeah, and that's where you end up sort of evolving towards, I suppose, is that the winning is in the process. It's not in the outcome.
Yep.
If your winning is in the process, if you're constantly trying to be more efficient, if you're constantly trying to do better, if you're constantly trying to make the process itself better, you're going to win as a byproduct of all of those small things, the blocking and tackling, as we say, that go into just the basics of this stuff. And it applies across a wide range of crap. But if you can just do the basics, the winning comes as a output and not necessarily as this one penultimate event. Because like, I'll tell you what, that's why first enlistment dudes, they get that first deployment. And if that first deployment is every bill of goods that they've been sold, man, like if they're not kicking in doors and calling bombs in and, you know, dudes saving dogs and saving bros and, you know, guys are calling in, you know, guys are running drones and doing all this other stuff. Like unless the sauce rides in on horses and we give patience, like unless they get that sort of experience, that first deployment, I've seen guys just be like, well, I'm out.
Yeah, you lied to me.
It's sometimes it's not even that bad. Like this is a good story. My boy Dust Bunny, he was a young dude in England with us. He went through. I think it was when you could still do a 4-year enlistment. Maybe it was 6 years because he got in. He had a longer pipeline, so he had like a 2.5-year pipeline, and then got to England with 3 years left. So that's about right. So he got to England. He worked 3 years. He never got to go on a deployment. There was a rack and stack for the missions that we were supporting. And not because he wasn't good enough, just because of the where he was in the pipeline and some taskings that he got hit with, he never got to go deploy and do the cool, really cool mission set that we were doing out there. So short story, he decides to get out after really 6 years because it's exactly that. It came time for him to re-enlist. And he was just like, well, I mean, I trained. I went on a cool skiing trip in Norway. I got to see a lot, you know, I got to go to the running of the bulls on leave in Spain. That was tight. He's like, but as far as PJ stuff, he's like, what really am I staying in for, you know, to roll the dice and go to Canon, like, yeah. Or to, you know, to do some of this. I don't even think you go to Canon at that time. It was so long ago at this point, but he was like, you know, what am I going to do? Like I could go look at other stuff. And thankfully he ended up getting back in and going into the guard. He's been at the same guard unit for a long time, just crushing it, like doing awesome shit. And good for him that he came back to it, but nobody could fault him. Like we would talk about him all the time. Like you can't fault the guy. Like you told him he was going to go to point of injury at that point to go. He was going to go to Afghanistan. He was going to go to point of injury. He was going to get into a gunfight. He was going to save an American. That's what you told him he was going to do. And he killed himself to try to go do it. He crushed himself. And then when you didn't even give him anywhere close to that.
Yeah, like it's pretty rare, though, especially back then. Like most guys.
It was. Dude, well, I mean, at that time, not really, because it was 2010, but it was in AFSOC, and it was the UCOM STTs. It was England and Japan, the 320th and the 321st, right? So we had different cycles where we were doing rotations with an army. It was a SIF team at the time and then CRIF team, and now they don't exist anymore. But you would do rotations with them, and then you would go hop on torch rotations and you'd support the task force. And between those two, like that's a pretty good year, man. Like you train for a spin up and then go and actually go out with the SIF team at the time, that's a pretty good thing. Not just on alert, but on an actual trip.
Mm-hmm.
That's a pretty good time. Like that's an experience that you will not get. Like you will get skills from that a lot. I don't want to blow them. Well, they don't exist anymore. I guess I could tell you whatever they want. And they deleted them. But anyway, and then the torch rotations were awesome. You train up in one of the great places of our United States, and then you go overseas and you support task force operations, and it was reactive CSAR, but it was a lot of flying to point of contact and, you know, pretty kinetic and getting into it. Now Iraq had calmed down because it was 2010 and Afghanistan was kind of on the edge of you know, where we were doing the Kazovac mission. Like that was right off the heels of Pedro 6-6.
Yeah.
So that was kind of that time frame, especially in southern Afghanistan. I ended up shutting Helmand down two years later in 2012. We were the team that was on in Bastion when we turned alert off, and then we bounced out of there or whatever. So it was uncommon for him, and that did suck for him. But, you know, and sometimes guys are too sensitive about it too. Like you look at you print out really what a guy has done. And you're like, you got to do all of this stuff, and you're telling me that's still not enough? Sometimes you're like, come on, man, you had a pretty good go of it. You just didn't get everything you wanted. Like, that's not what this is about. I think there's a good middle ground.
Well, and I think sometimes if you get so like target focused on certain things that you want to do, like if you're not invested in the process, you lose your flexibility to not recognize a lot of opportunities. I'm not saying that's what happened with this guy. But you see it with people. Like, I want to do, you know, they have like the list of things that they want to accomplish. It's like, man, but like, you're missing, like, opportunities are floating around.
Right.
That are available to you. And just because it's not on your list doesn't mean that it's not, you know, worthwhile or whatever. But you did said something earlier that I want to talk about too. Like, just a different gripe, not about DMs. When you said the basics, all I could think about was being on team and the young guys, you know, going to shooting schools, and they're like, when do we go to the advanced shooting schools? And we're like, there's no such thing.
What if I told you you're here, homie? Well, yeah. And I'll put a ding in at the old dudes too. And I railed against this. I always have. It's in my nature to do so, but the old dudes do the same shit. They just do it on the other end. And it makes me also infuriated. They're like, I want to go to like the shoot. Like, hey man, we don't do basics here. We don't like go walk battle drills. Listen, if you guys need to do that, like you see it when the new guys get the team and the rumbling start, like, hey, we're going to go out back and we're going to battle drill four dog, react to contact, near ambush, far ambush. You know the deal. We're going to run it till we get it right. Then we're going to do live fire. Then we're going to go do CQC. You know how this goes. Like, this is the progression. This is tactics. This is what we do. Basic food group. And then we start adding medicine. Then we add J Tackery. And then we add all the other stuff that makes us us. Then we add drones. Then we add, you know, a different wrinkle, but it's all basic tactics. So that's what we're going to do. You see the old dudes be like, well, I mean, can you just like send them to the FTU or like STTS? Cause like, we're doing like, going to Norway with the snowmobiles. And I don't know if they're ready for that yet. You know, like, how about you put your kid on and go do tactics? How about you take the snowmobile trip? How about you don't ask for $150,000 to go to a soft horseback course?
Yeah.
That's a real statement. That's a real request that I literally, me and K-Dub were like, you want to do what? Yeah. They were like, we want $150,000 to do a soft mountaineering course. It's on horseback.
Yeah.
And we were like,
10K for the hatchets we want too, because those are, we have to have them.
We got to have the matchets, dog. It's got my op initials on it and an angel.
Or no, it's a tomahawk. I'm sorry.
You're not allowed to say tomahawk. You're canceled. Nope.
Oh, is it all
that's hatchets? Red team thing? No, no, no. You're part of an investigation now. Hey, for legal reasons, I was not part of anything.
I don't know.
Better watch that. Better watch that, bud. I'm gonna hit the next gripe. I don't like it when somebody DMs us and then they're almost asking us our opinion, but they don't wait for us to respond. It's almost like, hey, I wanted to get your opinion on pull-ups. And then you start to type back and then you see there are three gray dots and you're like, hold on. And then they continue and they go, this is what I found on 17 other channels and 14 other special operators. I just want you to have, and then like, you're like, I don't know, man, it looks like they covered it. I don't have a whole lot to, I'm not a fitness expert. I don't claim to be an expert on anything other than being a PJ and a purple belt in jiu-jitsu. I can verify those two things. I was a PJ and I have a purple belt in jiu-jitsu. I feel pretty confident about being 70% standard in both of those things. So that's about it. But when they hit us up and they're just like, oh yeah, what do you feel about this? And then you say anything, they're like, oh, well, 17 other people feel this way. I'm like, I don't have an answer for you, man. I don't have a black and white.
Are you like vetting me to see if, do you not think that I'm who I say I am?
Yeah. Why did you team me up for a gotcha? Like, or were they like, hey, I want your comment on this really specific thing. Like, no, I don't have one. I don't care. I don't. That's not what I'm here for.
Have you seen this video and did you hear what this guy said about something? Yeah.
Yeah, I did. I don't care. Guess what? I don't care. And if I did, this isn't the place. That's the other thing too. And that this whole episode, I think, will be a good like analysis of it. But like, people can't put two and two together that sometimes, like, when we're talking through One's Ready, we're handling communication in a different way. We're in a different lane. And then when we're on ourselves in the team room, we're like, we handle communication a completely different way, right? Like, with all the canceling that goes on today, it's funny that people are like, oh, well, Aaron, how do you really feel about this? I'm like, well, bro, I can't say there's no additional value that you would get for me telling you how I really feel about this, number one. And then number two, I could get canceled for that. You know what getting canceled is, right? It's saying those things out loud on the internet.
Well, and I mean, there's six different ways to look at any different thing, right? Like, you know, like
a million,
You know, the way I felt yesterday about certain things, you know, when I first saw it, and I have my emotional reaction first, like, right, recognize it, ride the wave, and then look through it, you know, and I think on this podcast, we typically try to lean into the positives and the nuance and see, you know, if things are actually super bad, which sometimes they are. And then, but for the most part though, we're trying to, you know, illuminate the more positive aspects of being part of this community, right? And so it's not that I don't have negative opinions, and it's not that I'm not like just shilling for the Air Force, but I had a lot of positive experiences, and we just didn't see a ton of that out there. So that's what we're focusing on, but it doesn't mean that I don't have those other reactions.
It's like people can't have two ideas in their head at the same time. Like, you know, of course, like there's a million terrible things, right? I think I likened it to, I don't know, government agencies or whatever. Like, yeah, you can, it's awesome to get a new ID card. You know, it's not awesome the 4 hours waiting for it, but everybody knows that you do that. So there's no point focusing on the negative. It's just the outcome.
Yeah. Well, it's like, I can have friends and people that I think are, you know, respectable human beings working at certain agencies too. And also think that these agencies might overall, or in certain instances, parts of that agency be doing things that I, you know, wholly disagree with, you know, just like the military, and just like Microsoft, AT&T, right. All these yeah, other people, right. Like, yeah, or the government in general. It's like, it's just a bunch of people, and there's different groups and different people, and they're all over the place doing crazy stuff.
Dude, speaking of really, really cool things that happened, did you see Milei in Argentina? He eliminated like 80% of his government for the first time in the government's history. He posted a surplus in the budget like a month into it, because he, yeah. He like basically gutted every single government agency, and like magically he just balanced his budget with a surplus, and everybody's like, oh man, oh, this fascist is killing us.
Oh no.
Oh, with your surplus funds.
It's so bad for our economy. Don't do it.
So bad. People want to come here now. It's much safer. Anyway, that'd be tight.
Do you know what else I don't like is the when you open up a DM.
Here we go.
And like I'll like, you know, you'll see like the request or whatever, and I open it up and it's a fucking novel. I'm like,
you and I are just, we're right here, bud. You know, I was thinking about this earlier too. I was trying to find a way to distill it. There is nothing that you need to ask me that's going to take you more than a tweet. If you can't put it in 240 characters, 280 characters, whatever it is now on X, I don't care. Man, just boil it down, bro. Like, there is no amount of context and nuance. You know what it means when the message is this long? It means I'm not the right person to answer it. If it's this long, if you need this much nuance, that means there's a subject matter expert somewhere that can understand all this, and it ain't me, homie. This is like legal stuff. Like, when people are like, all right, so there's this really weird term, right? And it's in Latin. And it basically meant that the felony that I did isn't going to count. So here's like the 75, like, and you're just like, okay. So first of all, I don't, or like medical stuff. Like, oh, let me just give you the 3 rundowns of this medical problem I had back when I was 2 and what Genesis is saying now. Well, I'm like, shouldn't know that because HIPAA. And number 2, can't help because don't know what you're talking about. Okay.
Yeah.
Wanna know how to do an IFT? Hit your boy up.
Yeah. Also, you asked me 18 questions in a single DM. Like, bro, like,
is there anything more annoying than having to go through and like numbering your responses? All right. So like question 1, question 2. I'm like,
question 1, join security forces. Question 2, join security forces. Question 3.
Okay. So now we're talking about it. My heart rate's going up and I know that we're getting close. And that's how I know we're getting close. So Trent, the other thing that makes me so, so mad is when somebody's like, hey, so I was talking to my recruiter and I don't have enough pull-ups to go PJ, but I do have enough IFT score to go SEER. I was thinking about it anyway, and I think I'm going to go SEER before I get in, get a couple of, you know, deployment under my belt, and then go PJ, and then I'm going to know exactly what's going on. And then eventually what I want to do is be a STOW so that I can get out and then go work for the CIA. And after, well, I can do that while I'm in. I know there's certain titles, but we don't do that. And then I want to go work for the CIA. And then eventually I want to become a PA. Like, listen, you're not RJ Casey, dog. There's one dude that's done all that, and it's RJ Casey. He's beautiful, and you're not him. Okay. You can never be him. Everybody else asking about 5 or 6 or 7 jobs, y'all stop it. That there's like, who's the CEO? Kim is his last name. He was a SEAL and a doctor and an astronaut.
Mm-hmm.
There's one dude that did that. There's one RJ Casey.
Yeah.
You are not going to hop between 4 jobs. Like, oh, I want to do a PJ just to, you know, to get a good idea of what the crow job is about and then go and be a crow. Like, even that, while it is common, right, but people do it, it's still really, in the grand scheme of things, infinitesimally small, the likelihood that you're going to be able to do both of those things. You have to go back through training. People fail as a crow and then go back as an enlisted guy to their squadrons, they're not a crow. Because it's hard.
They make it sound like getting into these career fields is like community college.
It's
right?
Just like, fine. Like, well, and
I'm just going to start so here. Much,
they're like, well, I'm just going to go, you know, start as a PJ and do whatever. I was like, to quote the kids, bitch, you got me fucked up. You're going to start with the hardest one. You're going to start with the high. You're going to go to in. Like, it was, I was like, you're just going to breeze through NDOC, go through the pipeline, get great remarks all the way through your first, like, just get your five level right the fuck away, go deploy, just done, just crushing it, saving dogs, bros, and dogs, bros, moms. Come back home, and then you're just going to be like, oh, that's tight. I'm trying to go to Gable Stone, baby. I'm going Delta. And then you leave. Come on.
That's make that, sure like, when you get in the pipeline, you let everybody know what your long-term plans are, too, if that really goes
play
well.
That video of me doing it for him. Be like, here's my intent. I'm trying to go tier one in the Army. Then I'm going to kick it. I might go aviation for a bit. Don't know. Might fly. Might be a back-ender. I might be a back-ender. Might go to just do that to go to Pathfinder school. Just because I got an open spot on my uniform.
Yeah.
I don't know. Get out of here, guys. Can we focus on one thing at a time? Like, how about you get selected? Like, you can't do 40 push-ups. Like, let's let's pump the brakes on the Jack Bauer aspirations and really talk about just getting an IFT done that you don't throw up from and need an Uncrustable in your bed to make you feel better.
Dude, but how good are Uncrustables?
They're fire. That's why everybody steals them. Shout out SOT Team 6. They're in the jungle down there.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe that's the thing. We should promote those pages a little bit more, you know, so they can get a real feel for what it's like. Maybe hit those people with your DMs. You know, hit the Cone News Network with like your questions and see what kind of response you get, and then you'll have an idea of how salty the folks are down there and how difficult it is one's to live
ready.
Through
go
that.
Go hit one's not ready. Go right now. I want you to go, what boots should I wear? Specifically, I'm not talking about sprint rucking. I'm more talking about long distance, more than 10 miles at a specific pace. I heard the Danners were okay, but the Gore-Tex is a little sweaty. They'll be like, I got punched in the face today in the creek.
Yeah. The only people that hate cones more than Cadre are cones.
They hate each other. They'll eat each other. It's like a crab pot. and if you're not even putting cones together, oh my God, they eat each other first. It's the first thing that happens. It's the best part about being an instructor is turning cones against each other.
Oh, it's brutal. It's beautiful, though.
It's the greatest. Fucking cones, not real people. The best part, the absolute best part about it is turning cones against one another. Now that I think of it. All right, what else don't we like? Is that it?
That is nice. I mean, I think we hit the high points, you know, like I don't want to belabor this too much, you know. Like,
I think the point that I wanted to make is like, we're real people. Put yourself in my shoes. Go ahead.
I got one more. So I was thinking about going Green Beret, Ranger, SEALs, or Air Force Special Warfare. But like, do you guys see combat? Like, because I really, really want to see combat. Like that, and they say the word combat like 15 times.
Like,
that is my absolute favorite.
What do you mean? Yeah, like.
Like, have you read the job descriptions? Like, I'm going to say it again for the 8 millionth time. If you want to shoot people in the face, go be an Army Ranger.
100%. Go be an Army Ranger. It's pretty simple. First bat, money bat, third bat. Go to one of those three. That's it. Don't get Ranger qualified. Don't go infantry with a Ranger flare. Go to the bat. That's it.
Or
that's
be a
all
cop
they care
in,
about.
Okolusa County. You could also do that.
Just go. It'll be great for you. Go to the Rangers. Like and again, like, how are we put yourself in that position? I don't even know how to draw a parallel. I guess just any other job, I guess. But how are we supposed to answer that question? Well, you know, you're your own specific person with hopes and dreams and fears and desires and insecurities, and you're a complex adult human, and you're like, what should I do for my career, guy on the internet?
I feel like you would understand me, Aaron.
You're talking about years of your life, and you're literally DMing me to be like, hey, should I sign up for 6 years versus four? I'm like, you want me to co-sign on 720 days of your life and possible happiness via DM? I don't know, homie. Maybe do, don't. I don't know. People that hit us up for relationship advice.
Yeah.
If you want to be like, hey, how do I maintain a good relationship with my spouse? Ask away. I never get mad at that. I'm like, hey, that's a great question. Here you go. Blah, 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 blah. if you're like, here's my specific situation with my wife, blah, 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 blah. And I like, what should I tell her? And I'm like, I can't run away from this question fast enough, to be honest.
Tell her to settle down. That's 100% of what you should do.
Tell her she's overreacting. Oh man, just be like, babe, do you think you're overreacting just a little bit? Are you being... here we're going to get canceled. Is it that time of the month? Babe, be honest with me.
Wow, yeah.
It's the bit.
Yeah.
We're not committing to the bit? No, it's fine. Well, anyway.
But also, like, we have a comment on YouTube that every time I pull up the comments, like, I notice that we haven't responded to it yet. And I don't trust myself to respond. But it's like, hey, how many times should I run per week? And then there's, like, this whole other paragraph about, like, I've been doing all these things. And it's like, you know what? Like, I don't know.
No, man. I don't know.
Like I don't have to run as many times a week as you, maybe, or when I was your age, because of my, you know, background and my genetic makeup and all these other things. But I probably had to spend a lot more time on pull-ups than most of you normal humans, you know, but like, I don't know.
I bet if you printed out what I was doing when I went to Indoc and I passed, I bet if you printed that out and just blanked my name off, handed it to me, and they were like, hey, so this guy shows up day one. Here's an objective evaluation of him. Here's his numbers. Here is a subjective. The instructors looked at him. They thought, you know, real quick, strengths, weaknesses, and then likelihood to pass. You think this guy would pass? I would look at my own numbers, and I'd be like, fucking probably not.
What is this kid thinking?
What is this guy? Yeah. tell this kid to stay a phys tech. Probably not. You know, tell him don't lose his day job. Yeah. Might as well just stay home. Stay comfortable. It brings us all the way back to the beginning. Dude, I don't know. We don't know. Yeah. We're just.
Are you guys looking for a 5'10", 150-pound skeleton on your team? Because Segmiller's about to show up. You guys excited?
Trent Segmiller. Yeah. He can carry a lot, though. He's highly useful. I think that's it. I think people like, and they tend to forget too, like, you know, we're just normal people. Like, we're just trying to, half the time somebody will be like, oh, I need help on this. And I'm figuring out how to get them the information the same way that they should be. And I made that realization once. I was like, oh, I wonder how you do actually find that information. And I was like Googling. I was like, oh, find this information. Oh, it's a weird page, but it's listed here. Oh, it's in the article. And then I was like, wait a second. They could have done this.
Yeah.
I didn't do anything super special. Easy. I just Googled faster.
Yeah. And honestly, you know, going back to how old we are, we're never going to be 22 again. And while I think that we're fairly good at putting ourselves back in our shoes, which a lot of people struggle with, and remembering what it was like, we're never like, you can't unlearn things that you've already learned. So reaching out to your peers or other people that are going through the process with you, like you're going to learn a lot from them or people just ahead of you. But reaching out to the guys that did 20 years and are retired with your very specific questions, I'm not saying it's not an okay choice, but maybe not your best choice. You know, like I think I learned a lot more from the people of the similar, you know, age range and experience range than I ever did from like going straight to like the master sergeant asking me a question. Cause he's just going to be like, I don't have time for your stupid E3 nonsense. Get out of my office. I hate you. And it's not because he didn't know.
Right.
It's because he's like, it's going to take me 4 hours to explain my viewpoint of the answer to the question that you just asked, because I've been in forever.
Right. Did you go to your section leader? Did you go to your element leader? Yeah. Why are you here? Why are you in my office? Nobody could explain this to you.
You skipped a few steps. Did you look in a book?
Right. And I hope you guys understand, like, I hope you hear what Trent's saying. Like, we're trying to work ourselves out of a job. We're literally telling you that there are things that you could do. Like, hopefully you don't need us. Hopefully you're like, hey, you know, thanks for your service in GWAT. You guys have a good retirement. We got it. We're going to go from here. That's the goal. Self-coaching is always the goal. For what it is that we want you guys to do. Of course, we're here to help, but, you know, take what Trent just said seriously. And, you know, sometimes the most fertile ground is right where you are. You can literally just look around and, you know, any team room that you're in, you see a multitude of different, you know, experience levels and skills. And some, yep. You would look around, you know, my team room, and there's a tandem master and a breacher and a sniper and a, you know, super good cyber dork, sitting over in the corner. And, you know, a crow that knows everything about PR, like you could, there's not really a whole lot of question, you know, good JTAG dude. There's not a whole lot of questions that can't get answered in that room for our job.
Yep.
There's not a whole lot of overhead questions. Be like, hey, does anybody know how to do this? And you'd have one guy be like, yeah, I went to school for that. And be like, all right. We got it. So you're the lead on this TDY. Like, yeah, just put it on the calendar. Thanks. Put it on Spotify.
Yep. And just to hit it one more time, like, I can't remember how many times I've jumped like experience echelons and been that person in my past and asked questions of people and they just straight up ignored me. And now, like, there's a reason I don't feel guilty if I don't answer certain DMs. I'm like, you're gonna receive the silence, and then hopefully, the best thing that you could possibly do is do some research on your own or reach out to your peers.
Right. I can't. I got to engage. I just got to be like, oh, man, we did a whole episode on it. Here it is. I'm always hoping for better. I think it's because I'm an idealist, Trent, and that's what I want to end on is positivity. Is that even though we've been griping this entire episode about things that you guys do sort of make us upset, still here for it every single day. Still appreciate it. Send us your questions. We'll answer them. We might feel some type of way for a second. We might do one of these. All right. And then type the answer. Got it. We still dig it.
Yeah. Well, and you know, I think we do this for a reason. I think there's a lot of positivity. And if you know, you listen to anything that we say and there's like a switch that gets flipped, or you know, you get one question answered and like you're like, oh, I could do this myself. You know, like we've seen obviously some pretty decent success getting folks in the pipeline or just, you know, life changing, you know, like, because to change your life is not actually that hard. You got to make a 1 degree deviation from where you're at and move out. So I really dig a lot of the stuff that y'all are doing. It's not us. It's just we're here talking on the internet and you give us more credit than we probably deserve. But it's a super rad.
It is. Feels like a good place to end, Trenton.
All my positivity I got left, so.
You know what? You're doing great. I'm proud of you. I'm proud of everything that you did. You got a great background. Better than mine's going to change soon. Can't wait. Get out here. More sun in my life.
So nice. Can't wait. The first one's ready corporate meeting and where you're moving to, it's going to be off the chains.
Then nobody says off the chains. That's from the 90s, but that's how we started.
Yeah, exactly. That's how old I am. I'm not out here like Jocko trying to pretend I'm something I wasn't. I'm not acting like a tier one operator.
Shout out Jocko. Big fan of the podcast. See you next time.
Love you, bro.